Hey, good morning, Prestonwood. Welcome to church. Would you stand and worship with us this morning? We lift our voices. We raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Yeah.
I'm not ashamed in the middle of the storm.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praise.
count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Oh yes, I will, yeah. I count on one thing, I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me. Won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Whether we are on the mountaintops or in the valleys or anywhere in between, no matter our circumstance, because He is the only one who is worthy. Amen. He is worthy of our praise, worthy of our song, worthy of our adoration this morning. Praise God for the church. Thank you so much for carving out time to hang out with us this morning. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. Before we do anything else this morning, why don't you find someone close to you that you haven't said good morning to yet? Introduce yourself. Say hello to them.
Good morning. So excited to have all of you here with us this morning. If you are a guest with us or we've never been introduced, my name is Connor Bales, and it is my joy to serve as the pastor here at the North Campus of our church. And on behalf of our entire church family, just want you to know how delighted we are to have you here in worship with us. For those who are tuning in online, we welcome you as well. Today, you are a part of our family of faith here at Preston Wood, and I would ask that if you are a guest with us or we have not yet had an opportunity to get to know you, please text us the word connect to the number 55125. That's all you have to do is type the word connect to the number 55125, and it will prompt us to be able to follow up with you and hopefully, yes, connect with you so that we can introduce you to some of the life and ministry happening here in our church. For those who are in the room, when this service is dismissed, myself along with other staff members will be out in the lobby at Guest Central and would love an opportunity to be able to say hello to you there. We are just so grateful to have you here at Prestonwood. There's so much going on in our church. And in fact, today I'm going to ask you to start praying now in anticipation of our student ministry, leading over 1,000 students from our church to beach camp to early tomorrow morning. So parents of students, we are so excited for your families and for all of our students that are heading that way. And you can check your student along with their luggage in today at 3 o'clock and then go home. Let them get as much rest as they can because they're going to have an epic week with not much sleep. And so today at 3 o'clock in the student ministry building, bring your students' luggage, get them checked in so that we can make sure we are prepared to take off early in the morning. And again, be in prayer for our student ministry with all of these students and staff and volunteers that are going to make it a great week at the beach. We just came out of a great week at Adventure Week. You know, here at the North Campus, we had more than 2,500 students participate with us at BBS, and we are so delighted. We had more than 600 volunteers. So for all of you who served and sacrificed, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for making it an incredible week. And I am delighted to tell you that over 140 students made decisions for Jesus here at our church at the North Campus. And so we praise God for that. More than 250 students in our church, and God just has moved in great, great ways. And one of the great reasons is because we are a blessed church with a great staff. And one of our team members that was largely responsible for making VBS such a great success is our own children's minister, Adam Cox. You know, the Bible tells us, yeah, you can applaud for Adam. The Bible tells us that you should give honor to whom honor is due. And I don't know if you saw out in the atrium this morning, but Adam has written and developed an incredible children's ministry resource entitled Never Ending. And it is a 52-week devotional for families to walk through with their kids. Adam partnered with other national children's ministers to collaborate and create this great resource for the church. And I am so grateful to God for Adam. I have read this. It is fantastic. So parents and grandparents, this is a great gift to get your kids. And yes, of course, you can get one today right there in the atrium. And guess what? Adam will sign it and personalize it for your student today. So make sure you pick up this resource because it really is a great way for us as parents and grandparents to be able to shepherd and steward intentional Jesus conversations in our home. And so you don't want to miss out on that today. Again, we are so excited to have you here with us. I've missed you guys. I was out the last couple of Sundays. So glad to be back with you today. And we're going to continue to give God our worship and our praise. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward and prepare to receive this morning's offering. And if you're new here at Prestonwood, it doesn't matter whether we're sitting or standing, whether we're singing or praying, when that plate makes its way to you, if you'll just help us get it to the person next to you. We want to worship God with our resources, and this is a way for us to continue to remind ourselves that God has been so gracious and generous toward us. So let's pray together to God and just ask Him to continue to meet with us here today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for who You are and all that You have done. Father, we thank You for Your great love. It is a love that we don't deserve, but yet it is the love in Jesus Christ that we have received. And so, Father, I pray now as we sing of Your great love that we will be reminded that Jesus is the greatest evidence of that gift. So meet with us now. We acknowledge corporately and collectively, we can't do anything good without You. So, Lord Jesus, by the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit, would You invade our hearts and invade this place in a way that brings You honor and glory here today. We love You and we trust You. And in our faith, Father, we ask this from You. We pray to You and through You in the name above every name. In Jesus' name, amen. Lifting me up, how great is Your love.
I could sing of your love forever. forever. I could sing of your love forever.
I could sing
of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts change. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm faced doesn't change who you are or what you deserve.
I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song.
I'm
Oh man, good morning. He is worthy, amen. Grab your Bibles and go with me to Psalm chapter 128. So make your way to the Old Testament book of Psalms and find Psalm chapter 128. Just a couple of reminders as you're making your way there. The first is, fellas, this is the last Friday morning men's Bible study before we take our summer break. And I'll be teaching this Friday. It's father-son emphasis, and we'll be in Luke chapter 15. We're going to have tender breakfast tacos to the glory of God. So make sure that you bring your sons and your grandsons and join us in this room at 6:30 a.m. this Friday for our last men's Bible study before our summer break. Also, I've been out the last couple of Sundays, but I do know about those that have been affected, even within our church, by the powerful storms here in North Texas, the tornado in Salina. We continue to pray for all involved. I want to say a huge thank you to Grace Bridge Ministries, including Carter Morris and Drew Herndon, for their leadership and stepping in during this season of crisis and serving so many, including those within our church that have been adversely affected by the storms. No doubt you have noticed that the Plano campus was also affected by the storms, and so you have seen that they had to pivot how they worship and occupy different spaces on that campus. If you feel led to want to contribute to the restoration work there, just let us know. We'll help put you in contact with the right people so that you can participate in that. Today, if you can believe it, marks the 10th week in this sermon series, The Way Home. We are studying God's design for humanity's good, including the supernatural gifts that he gives to us, like marriage and family. And I was praying with some deacons this morning before our first service, and one of them gave testimony of how great this series has been, as it has been timely for his family and some of the things that they are navigating in this particular season of their life. And we've had a lot of positive feedback. If you have missed any of the weeks in this series, you can always go back online and get caught up. But it turns out that this series is very timely for all of us, including the Bales family, because I am so delighted to share with you that last night, my firstborn, my oldest daughter, Catherine, got engaged. And so we are so excited about that. So excited for she and Luke. And you guys can pray for me. So it's just awesome. It's all change, you know. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we were out 2 weeks ago for a family camp with Sky Ranch in Colorado, and the highest temperature that week was 71 degrees, so we were suffering for Jesus, and it was just amazing, but so great. We had such a great time, and I've had several people stop me this week and just say, "Hope you had a great vacation." I feel like I should just specify, a vacation is when you have no kids. We were on a trip. All right? Can I get a witness from the parents in the room? Amen, right? So we had a wonderful trip. Thank you for asking. And again, in all seriousness, I miss you when I'm gone. I'm so excited to be back with you today. The title for this morning's sermon is The Blessing of a Christian, which I'm going to admit at the outset is a bit generic. But one of the things we've learned in this particular sermon series is that God has a good design and plan for the ordering and structuring of everything within his created order, including our marriages and our families. And it's important that we understand that when we rightly submit ourselves to God's good design for us, for our lives and for our families, then watch, we position ourselves to receive his supernatural blessings and the benefits that only God could give. In other words, it always goes better when we're a people who follow our Creator's instructions for our life and flourishing. And this is interesting because position matters. When we were at family camp a couple of weeks ago, my favorite day of the week is a day called River Day, because our camp is uniquely positioned near the Gunnison River. It's the most amazing piece of property, and River Day is so fun because basically all the families and the counselors and the staff migrate for the day down to the river, and they grill out for us, so we get to have a long lunch there at the river's edge, and then there's activities for our kids and families to participate in, whether it's archery shooting or a shotgun shooting or riding the horses or doing certain certain activities and fun games. And the Bales family, we roll a little different than that, right? So we're a little more low-key. So we lay out some blankets right there at the river's edge. We try to find a really shady spot. We get the girls out of their wheelchairs and let them lay down. And inevitably, a crowd kind of congregates for those who might not want to participate in as many activities. And it just ends up a great afternoon of conversation and quiet and calm right there at the river's edge. And one moment a couple of weeks ago when we were laying out there on the blankets, Libby, my 15-year-old, who is a little ornery, she's her mother's daughter, she got irritable because the sun had migrated from behind the clouds, and so Libby was now in the sunlight, and she was getting frustrated with that. And so we needed to reposition the blankets and reposition the girls and kind of figure that out. Well, it takes a few people's help to do that. And so for a moment, someone was kind enough in our group to stand up over Libby and to shade her from direct sunlight so that she wouldn't, you know, be caught by the rays and she wouldn't get so hot and be so irritable until we could reposition everything. Well, because Libby was being ornery and because she was frustrated, she continued to roll out of that shade. Here's the thing. Did you realize that in God's good design, He's provided shade for us? And I think at times we find ourselves frustrated because we're a people who roll outside of it. And then we get hot, you know, and things get uncomfortable, and we wonder what the problem is, when in reality, when we'll pause and reflect on what the Bible declares, we'll recognize that our God loves us so much, He has shaded us. And there is a way for us to live such that we can position ourselves to receive the supernatural blessings that God alone can provide. In Psalm chapter 128, you're going to discover that it is one of the Psalms of Ascent. It's an interesting psalm because the Songs of Ascent were essentially a part of Jewish liturgy. It's a part of a Jewish tradition so that God's people, in preparation for worshiping God on the Temple Mount, had certain songs that they would sing to ready themselves for that spiritual encounter. Because again, the Temple Mount is called the Temple Mount because it was on a mountaintop. And so as they would ascend those steps and migrate toward the temple where they were going to worship and encounter God, they had certain songs that they would sing in preparation for that. This is one of those songs. In addition to that, it's known by scholars to be a psalm of wisdom. It was given to us, they believe, by King Solomon, and we know that according to its context, it comes right on the heels of Psalm 127, which, if you're familiar with our family dedication services, is a psalm that I often quote when we're praying prayers of blessings over our children and grandchildren, and when we as a church family are extending our hand of blessing to promise to come alongside of them in the high calling that God has entrusted to them as mom and dad to raise and shepherd and steward these amazing kids. And so that's a psalm that has an elevated view of family. And then you get to Psalm 128, one of these songs of ascent, which is a song of preparation. And you'll see that after having and holding an elevated view of family, God then describes what can only be understood as blessing, as the provision of shade that He has for you and me. And it's for our good. And so what we're going to see here in Psalm 128 is that God's blessing for His people is understood to be within His design and order and structure that He has provided so that you and I might be a people who thrive. That begins first with marriage and family. It spills over into our responsibility to care for and to steward the creation that He has entrusted to us. Let's read it together. We're going to read all six verses of Psalm 128. Of course, we'll read, stop, and talk for a few moments along the way. This is Psalm chapter 128. Let's start together in verse number one. And if you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Well, it doesn't take long for the psalmist to say what his purpose is in writing this wisdom literature. It's blessing. He said, blessed is everyone, not some, not most, but everyone who does two specific things. One is who fears the Lord. Well, what is a fear of God? Well, a fear of God is essentially the blending, in layman's terms, in Connor's terms, it's a blending of a reverent respect with an unconditional love. That's what fear is. So you have a respect for God and a love for God. And that's described biblically as a fear of God. It's a reverent respect rooted in an unconditional love. And then the second thing he says that blessing flows from is obedience. Who walks in his ways. That's a biblical way of describing what is obedience. So it's not a hesitation or a mere compliance, but it's a subsequent obedience rooted in a reverent respect and an unconditional love for God. He goes further, verses 2-4. He says, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed." There it is again. "And it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Now he's describing this blessing, right? So the first thing he does is announce that blessing is available. Here's its sourcing. Now he's describing this blessing, that it's the work of your hands and it shows up in your marriage and then subsequently through your family. And now he's going to declare the blessing or pronounce it over God's people. By verses 5-6, he says, "The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And may your children's children, may you see your children's children, peace be upon Israel." So let's talk a little bit about what this wisdom of God describes to be the blessing of God available to every man and woman of God who submits themselves, positions themselves to receive the shade, the blessing that belongs to God. And specifically, what we're going to draw our attention to today is the recognition that this blessing is connected to design, that the blessing of God is connected to the order and the structure of God that is uniquely reserved for the people of God who have relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to highlight just a couple of points, but then we're going to unpack each one of them. So if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. The first thought is this: our connection to God leads to our blessings from God. Quite simply, our connection to God, this ought to make sense to us, leads to our blessings from God. The psalmist is clear right out of the gate. He says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." And then who walks in his ways. Very obviously, he is highlighting two things. This idea of fearing God, again, a reverent respect blended with an unconditional love, evidencing itself in a subsequent obedience. Well, the two things I would point out to you specific to this connection idea are, first, you cannot know God's blessings if you don't first know the God who gives them. You with me? Like, this shouldn't be hard. You cannot know God's blessings if you don't first know the God who gives them. This obviously begins with the gospel. This is why I try to keep before us this reality that the gospel is never good news we outgrow. It is merely good news that we grow in a greater appreciation of and a greater relationship with God because of. Because do you recognize that the only possibility for us to be a people who have real connection with God, which then subsequently positions us for a blessing from God, is because God's love is so great that he sent Jesus to provide for us a means by which that connection could be had. Because we're sinners and our sin has separated us from God. But God sent Jesus, who was sinless, to become our sin substitute so that by his sacrifice and therefore our belief in that work, we could be restored to God. That restoration is connection. That connection leads to blessing so that we can receive the shade that God has provided for us. And yet, sometimes we find ourselves rolling outside of it and then getting frustrated because we're hot, right? And yet, I would even say this gets missed often in very public ways. I'll describe. So if you've ever heard a celebrity interviewed, and maybe that celebrity has been recognized for some type of achievement, they have a really significant amount of wealth, they have worldwide fame and national popularity, whatever the case may be, but then they get interviewed and they want to thank God for these blessings. But I think often, in that world that we live in, we assign to God blessings that the Bible never says have to originate from him. Right? Because what is blessing according to Psalm 128? Well, blessing follows design. Blessing follows order. Blessing follows structure that God has given to you and to me for our good. And so sometimes the thing that we think belongs to God might actually keep us separated from God because we're assigning a blessing of God to something that didn't originate with Him. And this happens publicly. And so you have to ask yourself this question: am I confident of my connection with God? Because blessings from God flow from connection to God. And we need to be a people who cannot afford to miss this. The second thing I would say about this idea of connection is you won't obey someone you don't respect and love. This is just true. You won't obey somebody you don't respect and love. Well, again, fear of the Lord, it's this idea of reverent respect blended with unconditional love, evidencing itself in walking in God's ways, obedience. Otherwise, what you're navigating, watch this, it's mere compliance. And compliance wears off. Obedience wears through. You with me? Let me see if I can illustrate it simply. If you ask a kiddo to tuck their shirt in, okay, this is just something simple. If you say, hey, tuck your shirt in, it'll look better today. And then the moment you walk out of the room or you leave them for the day, they then pull their shirt tail out, right? Then all they've done is complied for the purpose of checking the box and making you leave them alone. But they haven't fully obeyed because they haven't trusted that you have something good for them that they might not fully understand, right? And the idea here of obedience is rooted in the idea of fearing God. So that's why it's easy to understand that our connection to Him leads to our blessings from Him. If you've ever sat under somebody's godly leadership, whether that be in work or at school or on a team, if you've ever sat under somebody's trusted leadership, this is a really trusted, godly man or woman who has a position of authority and leadership, and you've been privileged to sit under that. There have been times that he or she has asked you to do something that you might not understand or even at times agree with. But you choose to submit yourself to it because you believe that that person loves you enough that they have something good for you that might come from you submitting to what it is that they're asking you to do. If you've ever had that feeling where you said, man, I'd run through a brick wall for her. I would run through a brick wall for him. That's because you have found yourself with this unusual trust in an individual. That connection has led to then subsequent blessing because you have been willing to submit yourself to the leadership of someone else. Well, so too it is for the Christian, that a fear of the Lord then evidences itself in an obedience to Him that even when we don't understand or at times agree with, positions us to receive the shade that God alone can provide. And so in an effort to help us practically be a people who can remain connected regularly, I'm going to give you a few suggestions on how we can be a people who stay connected to God. Because who doesn't want to receive God's blessings, right? We want to be a people who receive God's blessings, who are positioned for His shade. And so here's a couple of practical suggestions on ways that we can be a people who remain connected. I didn't put these on the screen, but here's the first. Spend time daily with God personally. Spend time daily with God personally. Now, if you're not yet in the regular habit and rhythm or routine of time in God's Word, I'm just going to tell you, it's so easy for you to begin. Did you know that there are thousands of different reading plans that you can have which will help you and track with you in getting time in God's Word every single day? You just need to do a simple search online for a Bible reading plan, and you will have thousands of options to choose from. So if it's not a regular part of your rhythm or your habit or your routine, don't beat yourself up. I would say just get started. Spend time with God daily. And the easiest way to do that, knowing you're meeting with God, is in His Word. In fact, some of you are like, well, I'm not really a good reader. I would say, did you know you can actually listen to the Bible? Yeah, so you can redeem that commute on your way to work. If you chose to take one less phone call, listen to one less song or podcast, then you could actually get and digest a little bit of God's Word every single day. If you're up early making breakfast or lunch for your kids, you could put your AirPods in and you could actually listen audibly to God's Word regularly. If you're in the gym working out, imagine if you just press pause on your workout playlist, some of which need to be redeemed, and you just listened to God's God's word every single day. And this is a way you can connect with God. And your connection to God leads to your blessings from God. And it's a really easy thing for you and I to be a people who are committed to that. The other thing I would say is regular worship. And again, you don't have to overthink this. Just listen to a worship song, something like you hear Caleb and our team sing and lead us through every single week. Just listen to a worship song once a day and ingest some of what the lyrics and the wisdom and the worship that we are singing in that praise to God. That's an easy way to connect with God. The same thing is true in prayer. And it doesn't matter if your prayer is 30 seconds or 30 minutes. If you're not in the regular habit and rhythm and routine of praying and connecting with God, now's the time to start. And you can redeem that commute in the car. You can redeem that walk around your block. You can redeem that few minutes in the morning when you're just getting dressed. You can just pray. This morning, I had a reminder in my phone to pray for friends of mine who are having a home study for the adoption of their little girl. And I just knew that that was on their schedule today. So the thing I did this morning while I was shaving is to pray for them, right? Because God hears, and he didn't care whether or not I'm knocking the stubble down or not. He hears all the same. And this is a way for us to be a people who are connecting to God. Here's the second suggestion. Order your family to prioritize God completely. So I would say this starts in our dating relationships. Make sure that you have healthy boundaries on what you're willing to do and what is reasonable and an expectation that you have one for another. So order your family, your dating relationships. That should flow into your marriage relationships. It should flow into your parenting and grandparenting relationships. It should flow into your activity determination and designation. It should flow into your spending and resourcing and how your family is going to align itself so that you can remain connected to God. Again, I would ask you this question. If you were going to take an anonymous poll of your family, okay, an anonymous poll of your family, would it be unanimous amongst everyone that Jesus is the most important thing in your home? Amen or ouch? Right? If you were going to take an anonymous poll of your family, would it be unanimous to everyone in your family that Jesus is the most important thing in your home? If not, no big deal. But let's reprioritize, because we want to be a people who are connected so that we're positioned to receive the blessing that God's design has said he has for you and me. Lastly, give yourself fully to biblical community. I don't know that we've ever been in an era when it is easier to be disconnected from the church. Because we're such a transactional people, that church can often feel like a transaction, right? And God didn't give his church for the purposes of transacting, but rather transforming. Transforming. And so what I want to encourage you to do is, if you are someone here in our church or watching online and you have not yet found a life group where you can connect, a place where you can be known by others and still loved, this is the blessing and benefit of God's church. As the guy who speaks in the big room, you are forfeiting the blessing of God if you don't get connected in the small one. Right? Biblical community. This is how we stay connected to God. Find where you can serve, right? An area in the church where God can use your gifts to serve his church. This is a great way for you to remain connected. This is all about positioning so that we can receive the blessing according to the design that God has for us. So our connection to God leads to our blessings from God. Here's the second point. I told you there was only two this morning. The second one is this: the blessings of God follow the design of God. The blessings of God follow the design of God. Again, in verses 2 through 4, you see God's blessings follow an order that mirrors God's design. Again, God has created all things to work within an order and a framework that accomplishes two primary goals. The first, glorify God. The second, be good for you and me. And God's love is so great that he accomplishes both those things according to his good design. We experience those things when we then subsequently submit ourselves to it. So a couple of thoughts on that. The first one is, God's blessings show up in our work. Did you know that? That you are made to work. According to God's good design in the creation order, you and I are a people who have been made by God to be productive for the glory of God. That you were made to work. We were made to labor and to work and to be productive for the glory of God and for the good of one another. This is all the way back in verse number 2. He says, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. This goes back to the cultural mandate found in Genesis 1:28 when God's command to Adam and Eve is to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it. And then he says, and you're going to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over everything that creeps on the ground. Two words I'll bring to your attention. The first is when he says to subdue it, this is the idea of having a control over it. And then when he says you're going to have dominion over all the fish of the sea and over everything that creeps on the ground, this is the authority over. This is why we don't work for our dogs. Some of you do. You need help. But I'm saying that your dogs work for us, right? Because God has given us dominion to exercise authority over the creation. And we are a people who, by God's good design, are meant to work. And listen, some of you are saying, I hate work. But that's because you're a sinner. And the people you work with are sinners. But did you know sin entered into the cosmos after God's instruction for us to be a productive people was given? So work is not a flawed concept. We're flawed people, but God wants us to work. And the way we can redeem our work is when we submit ourselves to God's good design by trusting in Jesus, restoring that connection so that we can get some shade. And some of us have experienced the blessing of God in our work. The fact that we're able to provide for our families, that God has given us a job, that he has given us a skill set, that he has given us a mind to think and hands to labor, and ways in which we can provide for our families, the ways in which we can connect one with another. We can provide goods for the community, benefits for the world at large, right? That's the blessing of God that happens as the result of our work. This is why it is so dangerous when you read the statistics that about 7 million young men between the ages of 18 and 30 are unemployed, drawing government benefits, but don't have to. Did you look at me? That's unsustainable. It's unsustainable for a community. It's unsustainable for a country. It's unsustainable for a world. And sociologists haven't cracked the code on that. This is actually according to God's good design, because he created us as a people who should be productive, and the blessing of God often comes from that productivity through our work. He says you're blessed because of the labor of your hands. And so this is why 1 Timothy 5:8, when Paul gives his instruction to a young man who is shepherding a local church, he says, if anyone does not provide for his family, 1 Timothy 5:8, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, come on. That's strong language. Now, why does Paul use such strong language? Well, because God has such a strong design, an intention and an order and a structure for how humanity was intended to flourish for our good. God's blessings show up in our work. Here's the second thing. God's blessings show up in our families. This ought to be so easy for us to recognize. Because if I were just going to ask you, let's just say it's me and you having a cup of coffee, and I was going to ask you, how much joy have you had from your family? Immediately, I can see your face, by the way. Immediately, you're smiling. I can see you. Right? Because isn't that, don't you recognize that the evidence of God's blessing often shows up in your family? Notice the family blessing begins with marriage. It's outlined by the reference he's made to a wife in verse 3. It continues to children and grandchildren as discussed there in verse 6. I'll read it to you again. Look with me in verse 3 and again at verse 6. He says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. This is why, church, we must lead the way in embracing the reality, regardless of what the culture attempts to say that runs in contradiction to it, that family, the nuclear family, according to how God has designed and ordered and structured humanity to thrive, is a blessing from God. The family is God's blessing according to his good design. This is why we don't try to rearrange our families. We don't risk our families. This is why we don't reduce our families or try to restructure what defines a family. Now, are many of our families broken? Yes, because our families are full of us, sinners. It's the reason why we need Jesus in order for us to be redeemed, so our families can experience the shade of God's blessings that he has designed for our good. This is why I would just say that a husband's greatest blessing should be his wife, and a wife's greatest blessing should be her husband. I'm going to press pause and lean in for just a moment. So parents, if you have been blessed with children, this is why your connection to your spouse is most significant, because you recognize there's a day when they're going to leave. And if you don't pay attention to the wife of your youth, to the husband of your youth, then you will wake up one day and you will not know the person you've been co-parenting with for the last 18 years. Because according to God's good design, he has an order by which things should be followed that is for, ultimately, our good. This is why a parent's great gift is their children, and a child's great gift is their mom and dad. And as it relates to children and offspring, again, I've said this to you many times, but I'll remind you yet again, everyone gets to be a parent. Some of us are parents naturally through the gift of procreation that happens as a result of the marital union. Others are parents supernaturally through the ministry of adoption and foster care, where God adopts individuals that are joining our earthly families. And then lastly, happens spiritually when an individual is willing to share the good news of the gospel and see another individual born again. And then the Bible says that to all who did believe him, who called on his name, he gave the right to be called children of God, and you get adopted into the forever family of our faith. And that's a miracle. And it is a blessing that God provides, whether you have children naturally, supernaturally, or spiritually, that it is a blessing that God gives to us that we get to see and experience. This is why the great gift and blessing of grandparents is their grandchildren, and for a grandchild, it is a granny and a granddaddy, right? I can remember now, even my dad's been in heaven since 2017, but I can remember the first few times that my parents kept Catherine for us, and they would come over to the house, and so Mary and I could have a date, and I can remember my dad holding my little girl, and he would say, look at me, he would go, I guess you were worth it. Okay. But I think I know what he meant. Like, his love was so great for his granddaughter, you know, that he was trying to tease me about all the headaches that I might have given to him. But this is the blessing of family according to the design of God. And can you see it? That blessing follows design. That there is a way in which God has intended for us to submit ourselves because we have a reverent respect blended with an unconditional love. It shows up in our willingness to obey him. And so subsequently, we submit ourselves to him, and therefore we position ourselves to receive the blessing from him. Because God has designed a way that you and I can be a people who flourish. And all the data is clear that where this design gets destroyed, where we attempt to deviate from God's order for the family, then crime goes up, education goes down. There are sociological consequences that are natural as a result of this. Mental and physical health gets worse. People's personal incomes is less, all because we have deviated from the order that God has intended for humanity's good. So our blessings flow from our connection to our God. And therefore, how we order our lives, what we believe, to whom we belong, it matters. It matters greatly. So I'll just ask you a couple of closing questions for us as we attempt to think about how this applies to our life. The first question is this: are you confident? Look at me. Are you certain that you are connected to God? Because the blessings of God directly result from your connection to God. And so are you confident? Do you have absolute certainty that you are connected to God, that you know God through Jesus Christ? Otherwise, you run the risk of assigning some type of earthly benefit, fame or success or achievement. You could run the risk of assuming that comes from God when you might not actually know him. And so are you confident of your connection with God? If not, you absolutely can be. The Bible says that if you will submit yourself to the belief that God's love is so great that he sent Jesus to provide for you something you could never give for yourself, then you can have that relationship which was broken and separated by our sin restored through your faith in God's Son Jesus and the work he accomplished for you. So you can leave here today absolutely certain that you are connected to God, rather than guessing as to what these earthly benefits might be the result of. The second question is this: is your life, I would say your family and your work, submitted to His design so that you're rightly positioned to receive His blessing? I'm wondering how many of us today are feeling the heat, but we failed to press pause and allow the Word to do its work, to examine ourselves, to ask this question: is it possible that our family has rolled outside the shade? So things are getting hot, we're getting warm, it's uncomfortable for us. Things aren't working like we wish they would or we think they should. And is it possible, because you, according to how you have aligned your life and your family, is it possible you've rolled outside God's shade? And so you're forfeiting the great benefit and blessing because your position is off. Here's what I can tell you: God's the mooring. He never moves. Sin is the reason you and I wander away. But the good news of God's grace is that His love is, it's unending. It's inexhaustible. And it doesn't matter how far you think you might have wandered out from under the shade of God's provision and blessing for your life, if you will choose today to return, to renew yourself, to remind yourself, to restore your family to the order and the structure that God intended for you, then watch. According to God's good word, then blessing is what follows that. And who doesn't want to be a person that receives God's blessing? I know I want that for my family, according to God's word. I'll bet you, you want that for yours. So ask yourself those two questions. Am I confident that I'm connected to God? And am I certain that I have ordered my life and family so that we are rightly positioned to receive the blessings of God? Or is it possible that we rolled outside the shade? And if today is a day when you need to have a conversation or a moment of prayer, maybe today some of you want to lead your families to come forward in prayer. Or you would grab your spouse or grab the hand of a friend and you would say, I just want to pray for our family to be renewed in this commitment that we submit ourselves fully and completely to the purpose and the plan that God has for our life. Jesus is going to be the most important thing in our life. If you want to have a personal conversation, a family moment of prayer, we'll have ministers here at the front of the room that would love an opportunity to pray with and for you. But if God's speaking to your heart today, then would you be obedient to respond to that? I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, of course, we're going to stand. We're going to lift our voice in song, and you'll have an opportunity to respond. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for who you are and all you've done. Father, I pray for us to be a people today who are confident of our connection, recognizing that our connection to you leads to our blessings from you. So help us to see that, Father. Father, help us to recognize that blessing follows design. So if there is an area of our life that needs course correction, then by your Holy Spirit, do that good work in us and through us today. We recognize we cannot do this without you. We are dependent upon you. And so by the power of your Spirit, move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.